live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí and Donegal say cuts to officer numbers in the county are leaving many crimes going undetected and unreported. The manager of Donegal's only emergency accommodation hostel says they simply don't have the space to deal with the demand for their service. The ESB says it's exploring more options to prevent the further death of birds striking overhead cables in Carrigans. And a Derry councillor says the PSNI needs to get to grips with armed gangs in the city. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have sport with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First in news, the manager of Donegal's only emergency accommodation hostel says they simply don't have the space to deal with the demand for their service. The hostel in Letterkenny has just 10 units of accommodation, 5 for individuals and 5 for families. While the facility is to provide temporary accommodation, the lack of rental properties in Letterkenny means many are staying at the hostel long term. Manager Keir Maguire says the lack of accommodation is of great concern.
Because there's a shortage of council housing, and that most people that leave the hostel would be moving into the private rented section. At the moment, it's just very, very difficult to get anybody any accommodation in Letterkenny. So that's become an issue for us. So people are actually staying here longer than they need to stay here. And because there's nobody moving out, we find it very difficult to take people in.
And it's the wheels are moving really slow in terms of finding alternative homes then?
It's almost impossible at the minute. It's very, very, very difficult at the minute. The private rented sector, they are renting to people that are working, and we just find it very difficult to get accommodation for the people that we have staying here at the hospital. People are here longer with us than they need to be, and as I say, we can't move them on.
So what do you do in that situation, Kieran? Because, as you say, you're an emergency accommodation provider, and whilst you're full, there are other emergencies. Like, where do you, if someone comes to you now, a family of three, say, for instance, in an emergency, you're full, what do you do in that situation?
All we can do, as I say, during the week, is send them to Donegal County Council, and they may give them, offer them a voucher for bed and breakfast.
How often does that happen?
I would say at the moment it's happening quite regular. The other thing that we're saying to them, we're encouraging them to move in with family, with friends, with whoever, you know, because the accommodation just isn't there. And in most cases, people are being able to, their friends are putting them up or whatever.
Meanwhile, the issue of homelessness is to be raised at a meeting of Letterkenny Municipal District tomorrow. Councillor Kieran Brogan says he spoke to a man sleeping rough in Letterkenny on Saturday night and believes a purpose-built temporary accommodation unit is needed as a matter of urgency. He's calling on the council to begin an immediate dialogue with the HSE and other agencies.
I was taken aback on Saturday night when I would have seen someone sleeping on the street in Letterkenny, and I wonder when I was speaking to the individual. This is something I've been raising for the last number of years. We've had huge success in Letterkenny and over the number of years, but with success comes many challenges. And I've been asking the council for the last couple of years that they need to step up to the mark here and provide a proper wet house and a proper accommodation for people who find themselves in this situation. It's something that there's a huge need for in Letterkenny. And again, through yourselves, I'm calling on the council as a matter of urgency to sit down with the agencies like the HSE as well and make sure that we have proper accommodation in Letterkenny. I believe that funding will be made available at a national level for a project like this, but I think the council needs to show a huge commitment to it.
On the 9 till noon show today, we heard from Karina McCulloch, who has spent a lot of time in courts supporting people who are facing eviction, supporting people in mortgage arrears, and she believes that this is going to get a lot worse, and potentially we're going to see more and more people finding themselves in serious trouble in Letterkenny and in Donegal. What you're suggesting is going to be the very least necessary to deal with that.
There's absolutely no doubt, and I believe if the agencies came together, and the council has a huge role in this, that they could be working closer with these people who find themselves in the situation, because I do believe if there's a willingness there, we can resolve a lot of the issues that's there.
While a cabinet minister has denied that the Taoiseach is downplaying the homelessness crisis, it's after comments from Leo Varadkar that Ireland's level of homelessness is low by international standards. Social Protection Minister Regina Doherty says he's not downplaying the situation, just facing reality.
That's true, unfortunately, right? So this isn't just a situation that's a crisis in Ireland. If you look across Europe, the average is 0.017% of per capita of people who are homeless versus people of the size of the population. But that's not, it's not that it doesn't matter to me. What matters to this government and what matters to us is if we have too many people at the moment who are living in an emergency situation, who do not have a roof over their head to call their own home.
The ESB says it's exploring more options to prevent the further death of birds striking overhead cables in Carrigans. 15 Hooper swans were found dead on Friday, with the ESB acting quickly to tighten the lines and add more visual deterrence. However, since two more swans have died after striking the wires, some locals are also complaining of power outages as a result. Niall Hatch from Birdwatch Ireland says ESB is working to tackle the issue to prevent similar incidents.
There's some young ones there that had been just there for just a few hours probably, but the ones that have been there for at least 2 weeks, because we could see that the bodies had decomposed and they'd also been scavenged on by foxes and other scavengers. And so that was on Friday. We had the 15 there. Now the ESB came out quite promptly to give them full credit, and they came out and they looked at the wires and they saw that some of the wires had been flackened through the impacts of these birds, because they're heavy birds. They weigh about 15 kilograms, so significant impact there. And so they tightened the wires and retensioned them. They also put up additional what they call game guards, these deflectors that are supposed to make them more visible to the birds. There were some present, but some had been knocked down by the birds at the impact. The ESB put up some more, but since that, another two swans have still crashed into the wires, including on Saturday. So it seems that despite the best efforts of the ESB, the birds still aren't able to see the wires. It could have been something to do with the low sun in the sky this time of year, the fact that they're just feeding the adjoining field and taking off and just aren't quite able to clear the wires without clipping them. So one of the things that now is being looked at, the ESB have talked about the possibility, and it's just at the early stage of discussion at this stage, about putting insulators on the wires so there's no live electricity.
There might be a strike and it wouldn't have such a devastating impact. In other words, cost the bird its life.
Birds still crashing into the wires, insulator or not, you know, it's still a bad thing. I mean, I'm sure some birds, there would still be some casualties, but at least they wouldn't be electrocuted. They have a better survival chance.
Gardaí and Donegal say cuts to officer numbers in the county are leaving many crimes going undetected and unreported. Overall, Garda numbers in the county have fallen by 23% over the past 7 years, while a number of stations have also been closed. Brendan O'Connor from the Garda Representative Association says the situation is unsustainable and officers are being put at risk.
We don't have a van with the capability to transport prisoners. We have members who have been assaulted and spat and expected to sit in the vehicle with someone who's spitting at them. It's totally unacceptable. The number of people who are simply failing to stop. We feel that the offenders know that if there's one car, all they have to do, they may feel, is outrun that one patrol and get to the border.
The cost of visiting your doctor could go down as part of negotiations on a new GP contract. A new report on GP and primary care services finds more care must move away from hospitals for cost and patient reasons. The report admits that the current system is fragmented, poorly developed and unfair. Juliette Gash reports.
Over 6,000 people, including patients, GPs and future GPs, were surveyed for this report, which is set to inform the negotiations on a new GP contract. It's long been the goal to transition to more care in the community, or primary care, as hospitals require more staff and much more money. Currently, 40% of the population has free GP care, leaving 60% paying up to €60 a visit. Health Minister Simon Harris said he'd like to see that reduced.
I have mentioned that the idea of co-payment is something that Sláinte Care leaves open. It talks about low cost or no cost in terms of services. We have co-payment in relation to the pharmacy, in relation to drugs, or indeed a certain number of visits a year. These are all things that we can look at.
Professor Tom O'Dowd, who carried out this report, and himself a GP, says doctors don't like taking money from patients who are struggling to pay.
The evidence we have is that people will bring bring their child to the doctor, but they themselves will postpone going to the doctor. And that's a very difficult position to be in as a GP, I can tell you. And I think the younger GPs are not willing to put up with that anymore. I think they see this as the job isn't worth, apparently, fleecing people.
Currently, just 4.5% of the health budget is spent on GP care. Professor O'Dowd says this needs to rise to 6.5%, which would mean a spending increase of many millions. Padraig McGarry is chairman of the GP committee with the Irish Medical Organisation. He says it will all come down to funding.
I have no doubt that the minister and accepted bona fides how he looks on this. Where I possibly would have an issue is, will he have access to the funding that needs to deliver it?
Juliet Gash at the HSE in Dublin.
The British Prime Minister's met leaders of Europe's key business organisations, including IBEC, at Downing Street over their Brexit concerns. Number 10 says she reiterated her ambition for free and frictionless trade with the EU. She also said the UK will set time limits as quickly as possible to give firms more certainty. A Derry councillor says the PSNI needs to get to grips with armed gangs in the city. The call comes after a man in his 40s was shot in both legs after being brought to an underpass on the Madams Bank Road last night. Councillor Sandra Duffy says following several recent shootings across Derry, there are serious questions as to how the PSNI are handling these incidents.
Very concerned at the number and level of incidents that we're facing over the last number of weeks. We had a young boy shot last week. We have had properties that have been shot into, and we have had armed gangs who have been trying to gain entry into properties. So we're very, very concerned at the number and level of incidents that are occurring. We have called on the police to meet with us this week regarding it, because we are very concerned that we are unaware of what the police are doing in the background, and maybe that they are working, but at this stage we are not seeing any evidence of it on the ground. People are fearful in the community. They're wondering what's going on, and we are asking the police to come out now publicly and tell us exactly what they're doing to catch these armed gangs, to prevent these incidents, and just come out publicly and allay the fears of the community. So we are taking a meeting this week with the police regarding this.
Okay, what's the attitude of the public, the general community, to all this? What are you hearing?
I've been on the ground this morning. I was at the tunnel where this incident took place. I've spoke to a number of residents. Residents are afraid. They are wondering what's going on. They're wondering why these armed gangs are allowed to conduct their business with what it seems to be impunity. They are not being challenged. They are allowed to continue. And the public are afraid that at some point, somebody is going to lose their life.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And it's 5:15, time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer, and Cork City have continued adding to their squad and have taken another Derry City man south. Defender Aaron Barry is the latest player to leave the Brandywell club to join the double winners on a 2-year deal. He follows Barry McNamee, who last week confirmed his move to Turner's Cross. Barry has been brought in to replace Ryan Delaney, who has returned to Burton in England. Republic of Ireland manager Martin O'Neill says his squad are well prepared to go to extra time against Denmark tomorrow. They head into the second leg of the World Cup playoff at the Aviva Golis after Saturday's first leg. The squad only returned to Dublin in the small hours of yesterday morning, but O'Neill says they're used to coping with quick turnarounds.
3 days, it's the way, it's the format now that you've got two games in relatively quick succession when you meet international matches. So kind of getting used to it. I think they're ready to go. I think, as you mentioned, I think that physically, obviously a demanding game, but they're ready to go one more time.
It looks like the Republic of Ireland will have a fully fit squad available tomorrow night. Midfielder David Myler is back in the squad as well after suspension, and he says the Aviva crowd in Dublin could have a massive bearing on tomorrow night's game.
Obviously, when they're on, you know, they're with us and they're, you know, cheering us on, it obviously gives everyone a huge lift. Even when, you know, you create a chance, that little urge that the goal's going to come, the fans can end up sucking the ball in for us and, you know, giving you that bit of a lift. So obviously they've always been crucial to us in the last few years over the previous campaigns and this campaign. So obviously we want a big turnout tomorrow night and, you know, all of us in full numbers.
Meanwhile, Martin O'Neill has also paid tribute to Liam Miller today. The former Ireland and Manchester United midfielder is battling cancer in the United States. Miller was given his Celtic debut by O'Neill, who says all the thoughts and best wishes of the squad are with the Cork man. Italy are 90 minutes away from missing a first World Cup final since 1958. They trail Sweden by a goal to nil, heading into the second leg of their playoff in Milan. Kickoff at the San Siro is at 7:45. Michael O'Neill isn't thinking about his future as Northern Ireland boss after failing to reach the World Cup. They lost their playoff with Switzerland 1-0 in aggregate following last night's goalless second leg. O'Neill has been linked with the vacant Scotland job.
I'm not even giving that any thought, you know what I mean? I don't think it's a reasonable question at this time to ask me that, to be fair. So, no, my focus is with the players and the boys in the dressing room.
In other football news, it appears as if Sadio Mane has been injured while on international duty once more. The pacey forward has returned to Liverpool after feeling a recurrence of a recent hamstring injury following Friday's World Cup qualifying win over South Africa. Mane had only just returned to action after missing five games for his club. On to Gaelic Games action, and on the colleges front today, there was a comprehensive victory for the LYIT Liddies side as they defeated DCU 8-12 to 2-3 was how it finished. Among the goals today for the LYIT were Lucy O'Flynn, Aisling McGuinness, Nicole Jordan, Sarah Jane McDonald and Emer Gallagher. Joe Kiernan has called up a replacement for the injured Pierce Hanley for Saturday's second international rules test with Australia. Monaghan midfielder Darren Hughes is on his way down under after Hanley was ruled out of the game in Perth with a hand injury. Ireland trailed their host by 10 points following Saturday's defeat in Adelaide. Tyrone champions Moy will play Ross Trevor in the Ulster Intermediate Final on the last Sunday of the month. Ross Trevor beat Donegal champions Milford in yesterday's semi-final at the Athletic Grounds by just a point. Milford felt they deserved more from the tie, but they just couldn't get that equalising score to force extra time. Moy secured their place in the decider with a 2:15 to 1:9 win over Newbridge of Derry. The Kavanagh brothers starred in the second half as Moy came from behind at the break to win. Sean Kavanagh said they had to dig deep.
It was incredible. Sort of, it was at half-time, home truce time, and we knew we weren't happy scoring 4 points with a considerable breeze. And certain points this year through the league and through the Tyrone Championship, we've had to take games by a scruff of the neck, and we've done that. We have the players to do it. And you know, the last day out, we felt we didn't really cut loose against Carrick Macross. We sort of played a containment game, and it got us over the line. We were lucky at times. That second half, it is really about throwing the shackles off and just really going at them, and that's exactly what we did. And whenever we do that, we have some fairly direct players and likes Big Ren and Harry up front there that, you know, love taking men on, love breaking that line. And whenever we start to do that, we start to get success.
Well, the lineup for the senior final still has to be confirmed. Cavan Gales and Derry Gonley will have to go again this weekend after they drew a Clonish yesterday. Whoever comes through that one will meet defending champion Sloughneil in the final. The Derry men beat Kilcar in the first semi-final of the weekend with 2 goals to spare, running out 6-point victors. Sloughneil upped their performance in the second half to reach another provincial decider. And assistant manager John Joe Kearney said afterwards that Kilcar shouldn't go home ashamed.
Kilcare reflecting that and say, what if, you know, but that's football. They didn't take their chances. They made them and they created the chances, so they can take a bit of heart from that. You know, I don't know how they look at Donegal football or whether they'll be back next year, but the way they played there the night, I think they should be around for a year or two, because they have, overall, they have a young side. They've, I suppose, their full-back and their centre-half-back, Michael Higgerty, probably two of the older men in the team, but the rest of the young lads are all young legs and that, and you know, after that display there, they shouldn't go home ashamed.
Did their athleticism, was that a different kind of threat to you than you would have, say, come up against in Kilcoo or Oma?
I think so. I think, you know, particularly the McHugh lads are very fleet of foot. And, like, we have men that we reckon are, you know, pretty fleet of foot as well, and they're getting plenty of bother with them. So, you know, they should take heart and keep at it. I think we have a young team there that'll produce the goods yet.
Finally, on the rugby front, Keith Earls' autumn series seems to be over without even playing a game. The winger has returned to Munster to rehab the hamstring injury that forced him to miss Saturday's win over the Springboks. Prop John Ryan has also returned to the province to treat a calf problem. Back rows Tommy O'Donnell and Dan Levy will again miss this week's match with Fiji, while Jordy Murphy and Sean Reddy have been added to the squad. Well, Fiji come to the Aviva on Saturday off the back of a 19-10 defeat at the hands of Italy. Despite that, Irish fullback Rob Kearney is wary of the threat that they pose.
You know, they pose a massive threat individually. I suppose the key for us is, you know, to make sure our systems are in place really well, and, you know, we don't knock off to give them those, you know, individual opportunities. The same way South Africa at the weekend, they've so many talented guys, but if we can work together and make sure that there's no, you know, chinks in our defensive line and things like that, it's tough for them to get those sort of, you know, to showcase their talents.
That's it, Michaela, from the sports desk for today. Jim Doherty's back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning at 8:35.
Thanks, Aisin. Minister Richard Britton is coming under scrutiny today following the announcement of 1.8 million euro in funding as part of a school excellence fund for Jewish schools. Minister Britton says 35 schools will benefit from what he's describing as a new approach using innovative programmes. However, there's criticism after it was confirmed that none of the designated schools are in Donegal. Cathaoirleach of the Glenties Municipal District Councillor Micheál Colmagill Osbach says it's unacceptable that the county has seemingly been ignored.
1.8 million certainly through the 26 counties is certainly something that has to be welcomed, but the very fact that Donegal is yet again being left out. If you look at the recent Pubble report, where Donegal is one of the highest counties of social deprivation and disadvantage, why does this government continue to leave schools in the areas of disadvantage out of the JES program? If you look at communities within disadvantaged areas, and especially where, if you look at schools, and more so that are not getting the JES program, schools that are being, and communities that are being facing high unemployment, massive immigration difficulties and poverty levels, and yet this government continues to fail to fund our schools adequately. And if you look at the 1 in 5 children who go to school within the whole Free State hungry every day, there's a whole failure of this state to provide not alone social care to our communities and to families and individuals, but the failures to fund our schools adequately. This is not good enough. If we are to grow and if we are to bring social and economic benefits to our communities that is so reaching out and crying out for, we need education. But yet while this government continues not to fund our schools adequately, this will be short-term and long-term reality for schools in our community.
And for weather now, cloudy for the rest of today with some scattered outbreaks of rain and drizzle in moderate to fresh and gusty southwest winds. Lowest temperatures tonight of 8 to 9 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Gardaí and Donegal say cuts to officer numbers in the county are leaving many crimes going undetected and unreported. Overall, Gardaí numbers in the county have fallen by 23% over the past 7 years, while a number of stations have also been closed. Brendan O'Connor from the Gardaí Representative Association says the situation is unsustainable. The ESB says it's exploring more options to prevent the further death of birds striking overhead cables in Carrigans. 15 Hooper swans were found dead on Friday. The manager of Donegal's only emergency accommodation hostel says they simply don't have the space to deal with the demand for their service. The hostel in Letterkenny has just 10 units of accommodation, 5 for individuals and 5 for families. And a cabinet minister has denied that the Taoiseach is downplaying the homelessness crisis. It's after comments from Leo Varadkar that Ireland's level of homelessness is low by international standards. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a full podcast of our news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, November the 13th. The death has occurred of John Boyle, Mina Halla Glenties and formerly of Glengesh Ardra. His remains will repose at his late residence, Mina Halla Glenties, this evening from 6 o'clock. Funeral from there Wednesday morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Holy Family Ardra for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only. Inquiries to Derek McCabe, Funeral Director, Ardra. The death has taken place at the Donegal Hospice of William Doherty, Basquill, Glen Ely. Remains are reposing at his late residence. Fiona from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Bogan, Kildaff, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11pm until 11am. Family flowers only, or if desired, donations are made to the Donegal Hospice, care of Liam Collins, funeral director, or any family member. The death has occurred at Letterkenny University Hospital of Sean Griffin, Corgary, Ballybofey. His remains will be reposing at his home until Rosary at 10 o'clock tonight and tomorrow from 11am until Rosary at 10pm. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Shasha O'Neill. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Haematology Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The sudden death has taken place in Yonkers, USA, of Peter McCormick, formerly Golan Ballybofey. His funeral mass will take place tomorrow in St Barnabas' Church, Woodlawn, Yonkers, with burial in Glenwood Union Cemetery, Rye. And the death has occurred of Paddy McCrory, Drumbean, Castlefin. Paddy's remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Columbus Church, Donnyloop. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Alzheimer's Society, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow.